Isaiah 7:14 recounts the familiar prophecy, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The angel of the Lord explained to Joseph that the prophecy was fulfilled in the miraculous virgin conception of Mary. The Bible doctrine of the virgin conception and birth of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, lies at the heart of the Christian faith. He who rejects that doctrine undercuts the very foundation upon which the Christian religion is founded. We believe Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ of eternity. We believe that his earthly ministry was nothing less than God clothing himself in a human body, experiencing all the circumstances of human birth, growth, life, and death, and triumphing over them all so as to provide salvation for us in time and eternity. Because we believe that, we worship Jesus as God, trust him as Savior, and serve him as Lord. The virgin conception and birth of Jesus is the foundation stone on which rests our belief concerning him. How can we be sure about the miraculous details of his entrance into human society? What witnesses are there that he was truly born by miraculous conception to a pure and chaste virgin? Well, our faith is firm because reliable witnesses are many. Consider the prophetic witness. God foretold his coming in human flesh long before the event. The first reference to it is recorded in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve had sinned and were expelled from the beautiful Garden of Eden. The judgment of sin had fallen on nature, on them individually, and on all their posterity. The forewarned sentence of death became real to them. How pitiful they were as they sat outside the garden and were forbidden the right to re-enter it. Yet, in the midst of that tragedy, God gave a promise. Genesis 3:15 recounts the promise of God that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Salvation was promised through a son born to the woman. Now, not to the man and the woman, but to the woman. That first gospel suggested the virgin conception of the Savior. Isaiah 7:14 recounts the familiar prophecy, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The angel of the Lord explained to Joseph that the prophecy was fulfilled in the miraculous virgin conception of Mary. Prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus was born as the virgin-conceived son of Mary. For when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, as he had promised through the prophets that he would do. Consider the angelic witness. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to announce to the Virgin Mary that she should be the mother of the Christ child. She had no idea of virgin conception. She never thought that was what Isaiah 7:14 and Genesis 3:15 taught. She wondered how she could bear a child before her marriage to Joseph was consummated. The angel explained that the power of God would be mediated to her by a creative act of the Holy Spirit, so she would conceive a child without a human father. No one had ever heard of such a thing before, but Mary knew God could do it if he wished, and offered her body to be the vehicle of God's miracle. Joseph, espoused to Mary, learned that she was awaiting the birth of a child. He knew he was not its father, and not thinking of the possibility of a miraculous virgin conception, concluded that Mary had been unfaithful to him. He resolved to break quietly their marriage espousal so as to bring as little shame upon Mary as possible. The angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and instructed him to take Mary as his wife. The angel explained, "That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now the Bible comments, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Joseph was told by the angel that the conception of Mary was the fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. If you believe in the validity of prophecy, and if you believe the message of the angels of God, you will believe in the virgin conception and birth of Jesus. Consider the historic witness. It happened as it had been predicted. Mary was with child. She did deliver a son. He was unique in his person, power, relation to God and man, and in every aspect of his being. The historicity of the birth of Jesus Christ is beyond dispute. The fullest account of the virgin conception and birth of Jesus is recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Now remember that Luke was a physician. He must have investigated the matter thoroughly before he recorded it and set his name to it. Besides that, he was guided of the Holy Spirit in writing the account. His record is true. Consider the apostolic witness. The Apostle Paul made many references to the unique person we know as Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, he discusses the incarnation of God in human flesh and declares that Jesus of Nazareth is the incarnate Christ. In Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, he writes how, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In the second epistle to the Corinthians, he testifies, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews reported how Jesus became a partaker of flesh and blood, the same as we humans have, in order that He might make reconciliation for our sins. The apostles all witnessed to the reality of His incarnation by a new and different way, the way of miraculous conception. Galatians chapter 4 is an important passage on this subject. Four times Paul used the word for born when speaking of other men, but he used a word for became when he spoke of Jesus. The usage indicates Paul understood that Jesus was not born as other men, but became what he was not, flesh. Now, how did Paul know about the miraculous conception? Well, remember that he traveled with Dr. Luke as his personal physician on some of the mission tours, and Luke must have explained to him in detail the circumstances of the birth of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, in turn, directed Paul to report that unique doctrine in his epistles. Consider the witnesses to the truth of the virgin conception and birth of Jesus. Consider the number of witnesses. Consider the reliability of the witnesses. Consider the agreement of the witnesses. Consider the witnesses, and be not faithless, but believing. Faith in the virgin-born Son of God will bring forgiveness of sins, acceptance before God, safety from death and hell, and all the privileges of being a child of God. Father, give the gift of faith to all who receive these words. Settle the witness of the Spirit in our hearts as we trust, love, and serve Him who is our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.